Poor Moses. He tried to tell God that he just wasn't the one to try to lead those Israelites out of captivity. But would God listen? No. God insisted. So Moses went. And what happened almost before the Red Sea could close back in on itself? Exactly what Moses had said. Those stiff-necked people would not follow. Their first complaint was, "You brought us into the desert so we could die of thirst." So God gave them water. They no sooner got the water that they said, "Where's the food?" And so God said, "I will provide you with manna. I will give you more than you need as long as you don't get greedy." And they got greedy. The next thing you knew, they were whining because they didn't have any meat. In the middle of a desert with no refrigeration and no way to preserve it. Everybody needs meat, right? Well, by this time, God had just about had it with their persistent whining. And so God says, "You want meat? I'll give it to you until it runs out your nose." And if all that complaining wasn't enough, do you remember what happened when Moses went on a personal retreat with God? You know, he went up on top of that mountain, told the people exactly what they were supposed to do while he was gone. Well, they convinced Aaron to help them build a golden calf. And when Moses came back down off the mountain and saw what they did, he got mad. And they got defensive. They said something akin to, "Well, you were gone, and we had no proof that God would continue to take care of us." You know, Moses put up with this behavior for 40 years. 40 years of complaining and whining, of never being satisfied and never having enough. There were times that it got so bad that even God's patience were tried. Do you remember when God would say to Moses, "You do something with your people," and Moses would say, "Hey, whoa, they aren't my people. You're the one who called me out here." Forty years. And when it finally came time that they could cross over into the promised land, who didn't get to go? Was it Aaron who helped build that golden calf? What about all those people who had spent 40 years whining and complaining? No. I heard it over here. Who was it?
Moses.
Moses, the one who spent 40 years trying to do exactly what God asked him, who made one error, and it was not breaking the Ten Commandments, it was claiming a miracle for himself. Have you ever wondered how he felt when God told him he wouldn't get to go into the promised land? That after 40 years, Joshua would be the leader. I mean, what was going through his mind during those final weeks as he watched all of the people begin to pack their belongings and make those final plans? Was he so hurt and so angry that he wanted to give the people a piece of their mind and tell them exactly what he really thought about all of them? Was there at least a moment when he wanted to cast disparaging remarks about Joshua? Or was there a little part of him that wanted to rally his supporters and attempt to divide the nation? Moses was human, but we really don't know what he was thinking. We only know what he did. And do you know, God was right at the very beginning. Moses knew how to be a leader. Because in those final weeks, when he knew that he would not be going into the promised land, when he knew that his people were going to move on without him, Moses did what a good leader should do. He began to tell them what they needed to know so they could build a society that would be just and be compassionate. The society that God had called them to build. The book of Deuteronomy is considered to be Moses' last sermon. And as such, he puts everything in there that he thinks the people need to remember. Now, we as Christians, we think that this book is antiquated, it's full of laws that don't apply to us, it's too legalistic, and that's really a shame. Because the rest of the scriptures are actually based upon this book. Even Jesus' teachings, his parables, they're based on what Moses told the people before they crossed over. Build your house on a rock, on God's foundation of justice and mercy and compassion. We Christians, whether we know it or not, we actually repeat that sentiment every week when we gather together. May thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When those Israelites were getting ready to march into the promised land, God was wanting them to make it the promised land, not just for themselves. Did you notice how many times in four verses, God said, do this for the poor, the orphaned, and the widowed? The foreigner, the nobodies of society. You are to build the promised land so even they, have the opportunity to live and to flourish. So what does that kind of a kingdom look like? It is built on the principles of justice and compassion for all God's people. It is a society where rulers, leaders, and citizens work together for the common good of all creation. It is the world that you and I have been called to help create. In the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses tells us a very important thing about that world. It will not be built. It will not happen unless everyone, leaders, rulers, citizens, work together, cooperate together. And then he goes about giving us the guidelines and the expectations so that everyone will be responsible for the process. Now we know that Moses' instructions worked for a while, for a very short while. What happened? The Israelites crossed over into the land of promise. And then suddenly, the leaders became power hungry. They looked around and they thought, whoa! And the citizens became greedy. And they began to think, why should I share? I'm the one that spent 40 years in the wilderness. I'm the one who did all of this. And everyone began looking at everyone else with suspicion. Does this sound familiar? Can I get an amen here? Well, Christians, what has changed for the worst in the world today can also be changed for the good. If we assume responsibility for ourselves and demand the same behavior from our leaders. When elected officials, leaders, and ordinary folk work together with no other agenda than to establish a just world where all people, where all creation can survive, with no special interests, no lobbying, no demands for correct doctrine, miracles can, and they do, happen. For example, you've probably all heard the statistics. We live in a society that throws away more than 50% of its food supply. But we live in a world where more than 80% of the people are hungry, malnourished, and have no access to safe water. Yet agriculturalists tell us that if the current food supply, not having to grow anything else, the current food supply was distributed equally throughout the world, there would be more than enough food for everyone who is alive today. Now think about that. The problem, of course, is that we have been told that the problem is too complicated. We have been told that it's too expensive, and we have been told that it would damage our own economy. And otherwise, we've been told that it is impossible to feed the rest of the world. But what happens if we haven't been told the truth? Have any of you heard of a farmer by the name of Dan West? Probably not. He was a relief worker in Spain during that country's civil war. And he became very frustrated. He was working in a refugee camp. And both the Spanish government and the American government kept telling him that there was not an adequate supply of milk to help his refugees. And as usual, the majority of refugees were women, children, the elderly, and the disabled. When Mr. West arrived back in the United States, He was haunted by the experience that he had. And he became determined to do something about it. And so he began an organization, and he named it Heifers for Relief. The mission of the organization was simple. He wanted to provide permanent freedom from hunger by giving families livestock and training so they could begin to provide for themselves. Heifers for Relief became the official project of the Church of the Brethren in 1942. It took them 4 years to get enough money to send 17 heifers from York, Pennsylvania to Puerto Rico. Okay, now does anybody know what Heifers for Relief is today? Heifer Project International. 70 years later, Mr. West's dream is not only alive, it is thriving. It has provided sustainable agricultural practices for people both in very rural and remote villages and in the middle of urban areas. His dream has led to millions upon millions of people being able to support themselves and their families. His dream has revitalized villages. It has revitalized center cities of some of the world's major areas. 70 years later, his dream lives on. Not only that, governments are beginning to ask questions. They are going to the leaders of Heifer Project International and wanting to know how this project can be expanded to help their people. Does it work? The rules that Moses gave us in Deuteronomy, will it work? Well, think about it. What if Heifer Project's vision was the rule in place of the exception? What if we left this place today and spread the word from Topeka to Washington, D.C., that a new normal has begun? Would people, especially our elected leaders, listen, believe, and change? What if we refuse to be told one more time that God's ways won't work? Well, all I can say for certain is when God's people listen and when they follow, miracles do happen. All it takes is a little compassion, a little faith, and the willingness to follow God's holy word. Can we change the world? Can we declare a new normal? Can we begin to work with our leaders so our children have a better world? To God be the glory. Amen.